was certainly true. Angst or no angst, he had lain waste to the scrambled eggs, and of the bacon there was now no sign. He drank half his orange juice and gave her a big old Billy Halleck grin. She tried to smile back, and it didn't quite happen. He imagined her wearing a sign, "My smiler is temporarily out of order." He reached across the table and took her hand. "Heidi, it's all right. And even if it's not, it's all over." "I know it is. I know. Is Linda..." "No, not anymore. She says her girlfriends are being very supportive." For about a week after it happened, their daughter had had a bad time of it. She had come home from school either in tears or close to them. She had stopped eating. Her complexion had flared up. Halleck, determined not to overreact, had gone in to see her homeroom teacher, the assistant principal, and Linda's beloved Miss Nearing, who taught phys ed and cheerleading. He ascertained, there was a good lawyerly word, that it was teasing mostly, as rough and unfunny as most junior high school teasing is apt to be, and tasteless to be sure, considering the circumstances. But what could you expect of an age group that thought dead baby jokes were the height of wit? He had gotten Linda to take a walk with him up the street. Lantern Drive was lined with tasteful, set-back-from-the-road homes, homes which began at roughly $75,000 and worked up into the $200,000 indoor pool and sauna range by the time you got to the country club end of the street. Linda had been wearing her old Madras shorts, which were now torn along one seam, and Halleck observed her legs had grown so long and coltish that the leg bands of her yellow cotton panties showed. He felt a pang of mingled regret and terror. She was growing up. He supposed she knew the old Madras shorts were too small, worn out in the bargain, but he guessed she had put them on because they made a link with a more comforting childhood, a childhood where daddies did not have to go to court and stand trial, no matter how cut and dried that trial might be, with your old golf buddy and that drunken grabber of your wife's tit, Carrie Rossington, driving the gavel. A childhood where kids did not rush up to you on the soccer field during period four while you were eating your lunch to ask you how many points your dad had gotten for bagging the old lady. "You understand it was an accident, don't you, Linda?" She nods, not looking at him. "Yes, Daddy." She came out between two cars without looking either way. There was no time for me to stop, absolutely no time. "Daddy, I don't want to hear about it." "I know you don't, and I don't want to talk about it, but you are hearing about it at school." She looks at him fearfully. "Daddy, you didn't..." "Go to your school?" "Yeah, I did, but not until 3:30 yesterday afternoon. There were no kids there at all, at least that I could see. No one's going to know." She relaxes, a little. "I heard you've been getting some pretty rough handling from the other kids. I'm sorry about that." "It hasn't been so bad," she says, taking his hand. Her face, the fresh scatter of angry-looking pimples on her forehead, tells a different story. The pimples say the handling has been rough indeed. Having a parent arrested is not a situation even Judy Blume covers, although someday she probably will. "I also hear you've been handling it pretty well," Billy Halleck says, "not making a big thing out of it. Because if they ever see they're getting under your skin..." "Yeah, I know," she says glumly. "Miss Nearing said she was especially proud of you," he says. It's a small lie. Miss Nearing hadn't said precisely that, but she had certainly spoken well of Linda, and that meant almost as much to Halleck as it did to his daughter. And it does the job. Her eyes brighten, and she looks at Halleck for the first time. "She did?" "She did," Halleck confirms. The lie comes easily and convincingly. Why not? He has told a lot of lies just lately. She squeezes his hand and smiles at him gratefully. "They'll let it go pretty soon, Lynn. They'll find some other bone to chew. Some girl will get pregnant, or a teacher will have a nervous breakdown, or some boy will get busted for selling pot or cocaine, and you'll be off the hook. Get it?" She throws her arms around him suddenly and hugs him tight. He decides she isn't growing up so fast after all, and that not all lies are bad. "I love you, Daddy," she says. "I love you too, Lynn." He hugs her back, and suddenly someone turns on a big stereo amplifier in front of his brain, and he hears the double thud again, the first as the 98's front bumper strikes the old gypsy woman with a bright red cloth kerchief over her scraggly hair, the second as the big front wheels pass over her body. Heidi screams, and her hand leaves Halleck's lap. Halleck hugs his daughter tighter, feeling goose flesh break all over his body. "More eggs?" Heidi asked, breaking into his reverie. "No. No, thanks." He looked at his clean plate with some guilt. No matter how bad things got, they had never gotten bad enough to cause him to lose either sleep or his appetite. "Are you sure you're..." "Okay?" he smiled. "I'm okay. You're okay. Linda's okay. As they say in the soap operas, the nightmare is over. Can we please get back to our lives?" "That's a lovely idea." This time she returned his smile with a real one of her own. She was suddenly under 30 again and radiant. "Want the rest of the bacon? There's 2 slices left." "No," he said, thinking of the way his pants nipped at his soft waist.
"What waist? Ha ha!"
A small and unfunny Don Rickles spoke up in his mind. "The last time you had a waist was around 1978, you hockey puck." The way he had to suck in his gut to hook the catch. Then he thought of the scale and said, "I'll have one of them. I've lost 3 pounds. She had gone to the stove in spite of his original no. "Sometimes she knows me so well it gets to be depressing," he thought. Now she glanced back. "You are still thinking about it, then?"
"I'm not," he said, exasperated. "Can't a man lose 3 pounds in peace? You keep saying you'd like to see me a little thinner, a little less beefy."
Now she had gotten him thinking about the gypsy again. Damn it! The gypsy's eaten nose and the scaly feel of that one finger sliding along his cheek in the moment before he had reacted and jerked away. The way you would jerk away from a spider or from a clittering bundle of beetles fuming in a knot under a rotted log. She brought him the bacon and kissed his temple. "I'm sorry. You go right ahead and lose some weight, but if you don't, remember what Mr. Rogers says." "I like you just the way you are," they finished in unison. He prodded at the overturned journal by the Lazy Susan, but that was just too depressing. He got up, went outside, and found the New York Times in the flower bed. The kid always threw it in the flower bed. Never had his numbers right at the end of the week, could never remember Bill's last name. Billy had wondered on more than one occasion if it was possible for a 12-year-old kid to become a victim of Alzheimer's disease. He took the paper back inside, opened it to the sports, and ate the bacon.